The following audio contains references to the Iraq and Afghanistan conflict, which some people may find upsetting. The new Boots on the Ground story, Warfare, was released in cinemas on the 18th of April. It retells the story of American Navy SEALs in insurgent territory in Iraq. It's based on the memories of the people who lived through it. Iraq War veteran Ray Mendoza directed the film alongside Alex Garland. I spoke to them about the film and how it resonated with me as a veteran on similar operations around that time. One of the first questions I asked the pair was how important the small details were in the filmmaking process.
Extremely important. In a weird way, like I think you feel not invisible. It's no different than if you're in a relationship with somebody, right? And they just, when you come home and you don't need to say anything, like, oh, they know you're hungry. Right, like you feel like they understand me. So it's all those little things to be like, all right, I don't feel invisible.
The film didn't rely on a conventional soundtrack or score. Can you talk me through the process of taking that big risk?
I think many of the things in this film that look like big decisions or big risks weren't. If we'd put music in this film, it would have really been manipulative, and it would have been using a kind of distorting film device, which is a good film device. But what Ray and I were attempting to do in this film, and everybody who worked on the film, was just to take 90 minutes of combat and show it as accurately as we possibly could. And so music was never an option, because as we are going through our lives and experiencing good moments or bad moments, an orchestra does not suddenly start up in the background. There were lots of devices like that. Some of them probably easier to see, which we just stripped out of this because they would have broken the rules we set ourselves, which was to do with honesty.
Every single character was dealing with that harrowing situation in their own way. Can you tell me a bit about that?
It took a long time for me to understand, like even from a psyche standpoint, of what was going on. On the day, it was so confusing. I remember what guys did or didn't do. But later, I started to understand more about the archetypes. The new guy, fight or flight, and then having to overcome fear. I knew that would relate to everybody. I've experienced all those as I matured and got, the more firefights you're in, it starts to open up, right? And you're able to make decisions. And as a new guy, your first one is you don't remember anything until someone tells you what you did. And so I wanted to show that full spectrum to relate to, to every soldier. Yeah.
You've both written a story that played out nearly 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. How difficult was that?
There's some therapists, and they ask me questions. I'm like, I don't think you heard anything I just said. Where with this experience, like the questions he was asking, I was like, he's actually understanding what I'm saying. And so the hard part was watching my friends and now understanding how upset they were. Some of them were emotional.
How difficult was it for you effectively reliving these events? And do you feel some form of solace or liberty now that that story's told?
It was difficult, and directing, it helped me like to detach from it.
Yeah,
it was more about me constantly putting a lot of effort into to detaching myself, because I was constantly being pulled into it. There are some moments where DeFerro pulls Cosmo up the driveway that where both Elliot and I were there. That was one of the moments that I knew was probably going to be difficult for me, and it was. I had described that moment to Elliot. Elliot started to cry, and then I started to cry, and then I had to call cut, and I ran off set, and I cried for a long time. But yeah, I came back on set, and he had a runner for the rest of the day. I just wasn't able to do that.
How was it for you writing somebody's story that has played out in real time from real events?
It was an exercise in listening, just trying to hear exactly what people were saying, what they were trying to convey. And it was a bit of unlearning, making sure that some of the tricks of my trade don't intentionally interfere with the truth of what we were trying to relay. Fun is not the right word, though. What it was incredibly rewarding in a really deep level, educational, fascinating, meaningful. I think somehow we knew if we got this right, this would be meaningful for veterans. It would be meaningful for their loved ones and their families to bridge a gap of information between them, but also meaningful for civilians. it's important for civilians to understand about combat. The military goes to war. It's civilians usually that make the decision to go to war. And so the more accurate and the more truthful we are about what that actually means, the better.
I also had the opportunity to speak to actors Will Poulter and Defero Wunatai and asked them if they had received any military training.
What we were lucky enough to experience was a kind of 3.5 week boot camp that our co-writer and co-director, Ray Mendoza, who's a former Navy SEAL and former BUDS instructor, took us through. Mm-hmm. So the concept was that this 3.5 week boot camp was designed to sort of simulate a kind of basic underwater demolition SEAL training program. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, a lot easier and very reduced in comparison to the real thing, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we're actors right, and yeah. we're under no illusions about how kind of attritional that is and how hard it is. But mm-hmm. what it did do is put us kind of in a sort of front-footed position to, you know, give our best effort to representing the mm-hmm. gentleman that we were responsible for representing. Mm-hmm. And it also bonded us, you know, as you can well imagine, I don't need to tell you, you get so close to guys you train with. This experience, you know, kind of required more of us mentally and physically that a lot of us had ever been through before.
Our instructors weren't just veterans, but also half of them were instructors, whether that be, you know, Ray being a BUD instructor, or the gentleman that I got to work with very closely was Shipwreck, was a former JTAC instructor. Mm-hmm. So we had the best of the best, really, mm-hmm. teaching us.
Playing Eric and Ray, what was the most challenging thing for you?
You know, I'm a civilian, and being put, although it was very, you know, a simulated experience, it felt real to me sometimes. Again, it pales into comparison what those men experienced that day. But as an actor, I definitely was immersed to a degree that I never experienced before on set. And it was a lot. It was a lot, for sure. Being able to play Ray, he was a very stoic man. During that experience, he shoved down all of those emotions and kept a very stoic persona throughout the whole entire thing. That's not just what he said, but all the other veterans who were there that day said as well. In my opinion, that was a struggle for me. You know, as immersive as it was, I'm not a soldier, and I'm not used to it at all like they are. I kind of caught myself getting lost into it a little bit.
Both your characters were handling it differently, mm-hmm. and in a way that's not normally portrayed in a film. Normally the soldiers are, yeah, we're getting on, we're smashed, but actually it was really difficult, and that showed. Mm-hmm. How did you handle that?
I think you're touching on something that is like really at the core of the film's mission, you know, which was represent in a very kind of like unflinching way just the authenticity and the truth of the matter, even if that was kind of at times sort of less entertaining. Mm-hmm. And I think that, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things we really hope, you know, is that for the veteran community, that they feel kind of accurately represented. They really were able to tell us both what they were experiencing or what they saw other guys experiencing. And so any choices that we made as actors were based in the real life accounts of the gentleman that we were tasked with representing.
There was no room for improv. Both in the sense that it would feel disrespectful, but we also had our true-to-life counterparts. Everything that we were taught that you see on the screen was brought to us by our characters.
Do you follow a different process when trying to get into these roles, and what is that?
I think more often than not, the processes aren't actually that different, because you know, you have a psychology to kind of consider and analyze with each character. What they do to me, like emotionally, that is where the difference in the challenge lies. Like, generally speaking, I found comedy to actually be harder because it kind of purges me of my like positive emotions, and I come home at the end of the day sort of drained. Whereas I find like drama to be a bit more therapeutic. You know, I kind of like purge my negative emotions. You'll be able to relate to this far better than we can, but we got a taste of how when you're in a kind of, if I can say, military style environment, you know, that there is a blend of the two kind of at all times. You're flitting constantly between something that's really emotionally intense and very serious, and then the very next second you're joking around. It was a fun combination.
Cosmo Jarvis, Michael Gandolfini and Kit Connor also told me about the impact of acting in the film with no soundtrack.
It didn't affect the process too much. Alex and Ray's choice to omit that was based on how music can be used in a manipulative manner, and it can be used to conjure feelings, sentimental feelings that were not just were not present during this time, and in their pursuit of delivering something honest and truthful that represented the actual day that we were recreating, they didn't feel it was necessary.
Yeah, I would also say that although there is no score, you could say that the film is scored by the immersive soundtrack of the environment, you know, and you never hear the score, the music or whatever that they normally put in a project. But with this, most of the sounds that ended up in the actual film, we could hear while we were shooting, which was incredibly beneficial, you know, being able to, everything from shooting, you know, live blank rounds to having, you know, the show of force. They had speakers all around the house that we were shooting in. Everything was pretty much sort of there on the day. So that was really beneficial for us in terms of performances.
So it was quite an immersive experience as an actor. How did you find that compared to other acting jobs you had?
I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, we got to follow protocol and we got to react to dogs barking or blanks, you know, things like that, that sort of evoke a feeling in your body that you can try and conjure up, and we do at other jobs, but when it's there, you don't have to conjure that up. You can just sort of react based on how your body's reacting. And so I think it allowed us to sort of fully immerse into a simulation of what this would be like. Obviously, it's nothing like reality, but it was really, I think, helpful for us.
The film was consistently quite harrowing and intense. There was so much emotion. At the end of each day of shooting, as actors, how do you decompress from that?
We used a lot of levity, you know, which actually we were at a screening the other day and Ray mentioned that he was watching from the sidelines and that almost brought him back to the kind of camaraderie that he had. I think we got to a point where we knew each other so well that we could read the room and knew when one another needed a bit quiet, or if Cosmo needed to laugh, then we would try and make that happen. The camaraderie kind of got us through the job.
There was a lot of long shots throughout the film. How did you find being in character for such long stints?
It was a kind of a strange feeling of everybody wanting to equally embrace the marathon that it was. It did, even though it was obviously quite unique in the level of responsibility it took for all of us to take on and embrace and love, we all really very much wanted to be there. And the fact that they had chosen to capture these moments in this manner made it even more sort of inspiring.
I know, Cosmo, you faced the unique challenge as Elliot, who by his own admission doesn't remember much that day. How was that?
It's a very unique situation to be in, to play somebody in his situation. Yeah. And I was very lucky to be around so many of his colleagues, including my director, who was able to recall what he was like and kind of guy he was, just in a personal respect, and hearing about them. I mean, all of us did everything we could to try and mine our real life counterparts for anything that might be useful, and just to hear about them, because meeting guys involved with this is just, it's not the sort of people in this occupation that I would ever have had the chance to ever get to know.
To wrap up the interview, I tested the actor's knowledge on British military slang.
In the military, particularly the British military, have a slang and language that we use.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just pitch a couple to you, see if you know what they mean.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I'm nervous about this. As a Brit, I'm worried I'm going to fail.
So the first one's threaders.
I'm Canadian, so I'm going to give myself some leeway. Right.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, threaders, I'm going to guess that's something to do with clothing.
No, is it not? Angry and fed up, like, so what you would say is, during the film that day, you're like, I'm absolutely threaders from that day.
I'm absolutely threaders.
Ali, what do you think I can mean?
Ali.
Ooh.
This is all, like, British military.
Yeah.
Song. Okay, Ali. That's tough.
That's a tough one.
It basically describes how cool someone is or how cool something looks when something's really cool.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, so use it all the time. Dit.
Dit.
Yeah.
Dit. Like, is that something to do with diddly squat?
No.
No, that's...
So it's particularly used in the army and the navy, and it's a story, usually an exaggerated story. So someone would go, have you got any dits about Iraq or Afghanistan? And then you share the story.
Any dits?
Yeah.
Oh, we've got a few boys in our team who've got a lot of dits. Yeah. Too many dits.
Exactly. Beasted.
Beasted.
Isn't that when you get, like, tortured by your superior?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, you're going to get beasted. Press up, sit up, sword, just sure. Generally thrashed around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bukshi.
Wow, that's really... I have no idea.
Yeah. Bukshi is basically slang for a spare item or something that's free or going spare. You go, oh, that's Bukshi, I'll take that.
Okay.
Oh, God, it is Bukshi. Last one, Jack, has the name Jack.
Jack. You're Jack. Like Jack the Lad, is it anything to do with
no,
that?
No, it's work shy or selfish.
Is it?
Yeah, you're being Jack, get a grip, get a
to be fair, we didn't have many Jacks.
Yeah.
We've got some absolute clowns, but we didn't have any Jacks.
Warfare is out now and being shown in most cinemas. If you have been affected by the themes of this interview, there's more support and advice at bfbs.com/audience support.